And away we go on this Thursday, May the 23rd, 2019, and everybody knows what that means. Memorial Day is just around the corner, and even though summer does not technically come until June the 21st, Memorial Day is the official kickoff to summer. Schools let out for the summer, weddings happen, and people go and visit the graves, which is nice, and pay tribute to a lot of people. That struck me funny because of all the rain we've had, that is not going to be a pleasant experience for a lot of people to be getting down on their hands and knees in the cemetery this weekend to plant flowers. But all that being said, brings me to this hour and our guest this hour, because Memorial Day, for those of you who don't know, is probably, next to the holidays, my favorite time of year, because I love spring, I love summer, I love the big three-day weekend, and when you're heading into a big three-day weekend like this, you have got to have a great guest to lead you into summer, so you have a great summer, so you have a great Memorial Day. And there's only one person who could do that. Even though he was just on with us last week, if it was up to me, he could be on 2 hours a day, every day, 5 days a week. He is a legendary stand-up comedian, has done so much, and genuinely makes me laugh through his appearances on this show. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, and I know he makes you genuinely laugh too out there in the listening audience, because you have told me when I see you in the grocery store, when I see you on the street, and when I get emails and Facebook messages. Now, before we go to him, we're going to go back in time just a little bit. April 17th, 1965, can you believe, more than a half century ago, 54 years ago, this is a show called The Hollywood Palace, the host, Groucho Marx. Now listen, from the legendary Marx Brothers, of course, now listen to the intro given by Groucho Marx for our guest today, and then you'll hear a little bit of our guest, and then we're going to go to our guest live. Remember, Hollywood Palace, Groucho Marx, April 17th, 1965.
I regret to say I'm now obliged to present a very talented comedian. Well, that's the way life is. Later, I intend to talk to him about that. My wife is crazy about him. And later, I intend to talk to both of them about that. Here he is, Shaky Green.
Thank you, Groucho. I think that's the most important thing in our business, a nice introduction. Because I had an introduction one time on a television show about 8 years ago, almost destroyed my career the way I was brought out. There's a guy on Sunday nights, I forget his name right now, but...
He's tonight on our show. Well, I'd like very much, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce a young, fat, fat, a young, fat, made it sound like there was a Chinese comic coming out. Meantime, I'm backstage trying to lose weight fast. And here he is right now, ladies and gentlemen. Chicky, Chikey, Chucky, whatever the heck his name is. And I ran out and said, thank you, Edie, Idie, Oodie. Whatever your name is.
One of the greats of all time, even 54 years ago, and we're so glad he's here with us today. Live and over the radio waves from Las Vegas, Nevada, the legendary Shaky Green. Shaky, how are you?
Well, I was thrilled about that. I haven't heard that in 65 years. My gosh. Now, who was Groucho Marx? You want to know something? Generally, after 65 years, you wouldn't remember those names. But I got to tell you something before we even get started. When you were doing your weather report, I started crying.
Oh, no.
Now, ask me why I was crying.
Why were you crying?
Did you ask me why I was crying?
I did.
Because I'm thinking of the people in Missouri and the Midwest, and I'm thinking of the tragedy and what's happening. It just in general, the whole tone of our country with the politics and the things, what's happening. And when you said about the weather and how you like the summer and everything else, you know, and it was my favorite time too, because we got out of school. Matter of fact, I got out of school before we even got out of school, because with my grades, they could have got me out of school at any time.
Well, you know what, this time of year, especially this weekend, here in the Midwest, we're right next to Indiana. You have the Indianapolis 500 on Sunday, which is a great, great tradition here. And people have cookouts for the first time because the kids are out of school now. A lot of kids are just finishing up school today. I saw a lot of that going on in the area. So it's just a wonderful time of year.
Yes, it's a wonderful time, but for every good, there's some bad. I mean, I hate to sound like that, but I'm thinking about watching television, and I watch these comedians today. It's too much already with the politics. I mean, it's enough that we get news, and you know what's happening. Now, you call me to get me to do comedy, but I've got to tell this thing because this is from whence comedy comes. Every comic that could, on television today, they're all becoming political commentators, you know, and it's enough already. Well, and I don't know what I can possibly say, except I can go back and say I wish all the kids getting out for the summer had the greatest time in the world, you know.
Well, I tell you.
But we're living in a very mixed up time.
Well, I'll tell you, if they're listening to this program over the next 45 minutes, they're going to have a good time. But I'll tell you what, when I saw that clip this morning, April 17th, 1965, you with Groucho Marx. Now, you have told about your trials and tribulations with Ed Sullivan now, but of course, Ed has been dead for about 40 years. But when you went on national
television, that we're dead is coming up awful fast for me now. Every day, dead. I've got some of my greatest friends are just passing away like flies. Sammy Shore. Did you know Sammy Shore?
Yes, Mitzi Shore's husband.
Yeah, well, I got them to Comedy Store. I think I told you that story.
Yeah, last week I think we took. Is did Sammy pass?
Sammy died this week.
Oh my goodness.
And Sammy and I he was my first partner, and we broke up right away. We did maybe one show together after we finished the resort, and he would write bad things about me, but I still had a good feeling for him, and we became very close again near the end. I sang songs to him when he was dying, and I talked to him every day. But it Kay Ballard and Sammy, and it's unbelievable when I get to the age that I am. And then you said 63 years ago, whoa, you know.
Well, it's interesting.
I'm going to get up and throw away every calendar I got.
Well, it's interesting to me.
Wait a minute, my dog's on one of them. I got to keep that one.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me about this 1965 appearance with Groucho, this is network television, and you're making fun of Ed Sullivan. Now, he's still on television at this time. Now, did you get any feedback from him on that?
Oh, no, I really didn't, because I don't even know. Again, they didn't tell Ed a lot of things. The daughter and his son-in-law never told him a lot of things, because he was losing it a little bit. Now, when I said losing it a little bit, sometimes when people have tremendous success down the line, so Carson was the same way. Carson was not making contact the way he did before, the bigger he got and the longer. And that's what's happening with our president today. When I went through my mental situation, and I could talk about it, because it's good to talk about something that you hadn't got over. I'm worried about Trump. Trump is, because as a matter of fact, Pelosi said to him today that, I'm talking so fast I can't even hear myself, that he needs an intervention.
She did say that. That was interesting.
Yeah, that he needs an intervention. Well, a lot of us need an intervention, but I was helped. I used to tell, I told you about my psychiatrist. I could have got better advice from my maid.
Well, it's
if I understood Spanish, she probably could have helped me.
Well, that's an interesting story about your psychiatrist, and it might be worth telling again because we're like 4 days from Memorial Day. So, talk about your psychiatrist.
Well, I think with the women that I married, because I married. The word I'm going to use, it's not negative. The Gentile girls that I married, I went with a Jewish girl, and I married Gentile girls. And their kind of lifestyle was not my lifestyle. And little by little, I sort of regressed, and things bothered me, and I started to drink, and I went to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist, first guy I went to, he sold me a treadmill that was broken. He told me I needed exercise. He was an Irishman, O'Rourke. He said, you know something what you need? You need to exercise yourself. I've got this treadmill here. All you got to do is take it to be fixed. So that was one guy. Another guy, I told you, the psychiatrist, was a German from Vienna, and he said, all righty, I want to tell you something. What do you got in that package? I said, the food I'm bringing home. Let's eat it. So the hour I was supposed to spend with him, we ended up eating. So every time I had a meal, I was feeling good. The third guy was a guy, Leonard, and Leonard went to play tennis after we had a intervention, I'll say, and I said, don't play tennis, you're too heavy. He went and he died that day.
Oh, God.
So I would have loved to have met Freud while he was still putting stuff up his nose with his wife.
Now,
it's a wonderful group of people.
It's a wonderful story about the psychiatrist industry. Now, poor Leonard, when you heard that he had dropped dead on the tennis court, did that shock you?
Well, no, but Leonard was extremely hyper. Leonard was an engineer, MIT. He was a lawyer. Hear what I tell you? He was a doctor. Then he became a psychiatrist. Leonard was overly brilliant, except when it came to playing tennis. And I asked him, how did he die? And the guy says, well, I let him win, and he went to jump over the net, and he didn't make it. He died with a hernia. Every one of them smoked pipes. There's something when they graduate being a psychiatrist, they give them a pipe. And they sit there puffing. And Saredi, let me see what is wrong with you. Do you love your mother and father? No, not at the same time.
Well, when poor Leonard passed away, did you end up with another psychiatrist?
You know what? I think that was. I found a guy. I found a guy in Palm Springs, and he had a book, a red book. And whatever you said to him, he looked it up in the red book. He smoked his pipe. He would blow out the smoke, and they said, "Oh yeah, you're on page 27." You got that, what's that? I says, instead of coming to you, could you just sell me a book, and I'll cure myself.
Did any of these psychiatrists bring you any help?
No, are you kidding? I had more help from my grandmother. My grandmother would sit me down for a good meal and tell me what I should do. Be a good boy. Don't get in trouble. That was the best advice in the world. And when you say don't get in trouble. And she, I think one day she said to me, don't go see a psychiatrist.
Now, did Grandma know that at points during your career you ran around with people in the mob, like Giancana?
Well, those people didn't know about that. They came from a background like in Russia where they kicked out the Jews. You know, they had such a bad beginning, I mean, when they're children and in their midlife, that I don't think they can. I think they were tougher than the Giancanas and the Al Capones. But I worked for Giancana. Was with Giancana. I told you, for 10 years, never knew who he was, but he used to take care of me. Whatever trouble I got into, there was always Giancana.
So he was a generally a nice man.
Well, to me, he was. I mean, the people he killed, he wasn't. You know.
Now, didn't he end up in prison at one point?
Yeah, he went to jail for a while. But then when he eventually got shot. And everybody said they thought the CIA did it, you know.
There was a story that his girlfriend was having an affair with President Kennedy.
Oh, no, I was with him with the girlfriend, and she had an affair with Kennedy. That was Sinatra made that, what we call in Jewish, a shidduch. A shidduch means when you bring two people together.
Well, that's a close word. That's a borderline word. The censors are going to be looking at that.
But you know, I love to use any language, the Spanish, Italian, to punctuate the word or the situation with a foreign word.
Well, that's a good word. Well, now, so Giancana's girlfriend never knew President Kennedy. That's all baloney.
Oh, no. She was with Kennedy.
Well, she was with Kennedy.
Oh, yes.
So that was true.
Oh, Kennedy didn't miss anything. Are you kidding?
Well, did you know Kennedy?
You know what? I had an occasion to meet him when he was with Frank, but I don't know what happened. I didn't meet him that day. But I knew his father.
Oh, Joe.
His father used to, where I worked in Lake Tahoe, the father and I would take a walk down to the lake every night. He would come and pick me up. And they called the father an anti-Semite, which he wasn't, because he had that German background when he was the ambassador in England. He was saying good things about Hitler, that Hitler was good for the world.
Well, I remember that, and that got him into all kinds of trouble. But we do, I want to cover some ground, because when you were on Shecky last week, now we've learned that last week we were talking about Sammy Shore being in hospice. Now he's left us. Now, last week we also talked about Larry King, and I had told you that he had some heart trouble, and you said you were going to try to call him. Have you reached out to Larry King?
No, I really haven't, and I watch him on television. I don't know how he accept a call from me, you know, because he, as I told you, we were together a lot, but I don't think I was one of his favorites. He loved Rickles.
He did. He had an affinity for Don Rickles.
And there was something about people, because he worked in the same situation I did in Vegas, something that people said, either you like Shecky or you like Rickles. I don't know why, but that's the way people are. Oh, yeah, but did you see this guy? He's better. I don't know. People are kind of strange.
People are funny in that
I know, because I married two strange ones, and they got stranger as I got married.
Now, Shecky, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but of all the states and areas that you played, what was the worst place you ever played?
A place in New Orleans. After I had my club and everything, I was brought back by a guy off of Bourbon Street, and this guy was a sort of a thief, because I worked for him, And I signed a contract where I got a piece of the club. And then later on, when we did no business, absolutely none, I left there. And then he sued me, and he got a lawyer, that the lawyer says, from now on, the rest of my life, I have to pay them 15%. Well, then I made a call, not knowing it was going to go to Sam Giancana. And after a while, that was squashed. But that guy burned down a place and burned down two businesses, and he went to jail. I remember his first name was Dick. Wow. Don't ask me to analyze that.
Well, Richard. His name was Richard, correct?
His name was Richard.
Richard.
And no, his name became 4769321.
Now, is he out of the clink? Is he still?
No, he ended up dying in prison.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, he was talking to a prisoner, and he said he didn't like Shecky Green, and the guy was a fan of mine.
Did him in right there.
Now, so I bailed out 9763215.
So conversely, what was the best place you ever played?
I really think Las Vegas. I think the lounge at the Riviera was my, more so than the big rooms. Big rooms to me didn't mean anything, you know, because you had to do an act, and it wasn't fulfilling for me. But I in the lounge, I created. I made up things, and I could do things. I used to do, like, whole Broadway shows in the lounge, but not the real one. I would make up my own, like if I had Porgy and Bess, you know? I would sing, Bess, come on and sing with me. Let's do this song. 'Cause on Broadway it was wrong. It wasn't as good as you. And I could do. And I'd make up all of that stuff. Fiddler on the Roof. I would create my own Fiddler on the Roof.
Those are great. Now, how much did you know about what you were going to do when you stepped on the stage?
I didn't have to know it. As soon as I stepped on the stage, I really didn't have to know. It would come to me, and sometimes I had an opening, you know. But when you're in a lounge, you don't have to worry about those things, you know. It's not like a setup show.
You know, I want to talk a little more about Ed Sullivan since we started with him. Now, a few months ago, I think when we had you on the show, you talked about where Ed Sullivan had found you. Where did Ed Sullivan find you?
Well, Ed Sullivan saw me and heard about me in Vegas, and then he saw me in Vegas. And then he was staying at the Desert Inn, and I had a friend of mine that was my partner also in New Orleans, an Italian kid by the name of Frankie Pirelli. And Frankie, his stage name was Frankie Ray. And he did impressions. Matter of fact, Charles Laughton came to New Orleans, and he kept watching me. He came to do some shows. And he kept watching me, and he says to me, I want to take you back to Hollywood and make you an actor. I didn't want you to do this. I want you to be an actor. And he was going to give me lessons with Elsa Lanchester, his wife. So I brought him in to see Frankie, because Frankie did an impression of Charles Laughton. So when he did the impression, Charles Laughton said, get me out of here! He hated impressions.
Oh.
So he kicked us out. Anyway, I'm in Vegas, and Ed Sullivan wants to see me. So I said to Frankie, you go over there. So Frankie goes over as my agent. And he's frightened to death. He made poo-poo in his pants, you know, talking to Ed Sullivan. And says, hello there, what is your name? Frankie. He says, Frankie, okay. What are you? He says, tell you. Hello, Wally-O. Whatever you were, that's what he did, those things. Hello, Juju. Hello, Wally-O. So, Anyway, he got me a contract. Wasn't not the best contract, wasn't the worst contract, but he came back. He had a nervous breakdown from getting me the job.
Oh, no.
So Sullivan says to me, "You know something? Your agent is not like a real agent." I said, "No, I think he died."
Oh, God. Well, no. Okay, so now, see, this is good for the kids listening right now, because now here's a little tie-in people don't know. The same stage that Shecky Green performed on the Ed Sullivan Show, now is the stage that Stephen Colbert does his show from every night, and David Letterman.
Well, Letterman did his show from there.
And Letterman, too. That stage can still be seen on television every night right now as Stephen Colbert. So, you're in Vegas, Ed comes to see you, you get a deal with him, so you go to New York and take it from there. What's the day of the show, the first appearance?
Well, as I told you, I really wasn't ever prepared for television. I mean, I would write it the night before. You don't do that. I mean, when you're going to do a television show, you do it, and you keep on doing it until you get on stage. But when I got there, he was treating me wonderfully at the beginning. Hello.
Yes. What did he say?
Oh, I thought you left me.
No.
A lot of people do after they hear my act.
I was shocked that he treated you wonderfully, because I knew there was
he
a lot of
He treated me wonderfully, and that's until I started doing the things that I did. Like I talked about a mine disaster, which they actually had, and then he said I did it. You know, he told me I lost him Canada, because I talked about the mine disaster. And then I talked about his 11th anniversary. I did it as a German comic, and I said he's been on television because there's no he doesn't sing, he doesn't dance, he doesn't do anything. That's why he's been on television so long. And then he stopped talking to me there. It was a wonderful relationship.
So the first time,
in fact, I think he didn't even introduce me anymore. He did. It'd have somebody else come out, and here's Shecky Green, and he would just stand there.
Now, the first time you were on, because this is a big show, there were only three networks at the time, Ed Sullivan is probably in 80% of people's living rooms. This is the early days.
Oh, yeah, it was big. It was big.
So when you went on stage that night, what do you remember about the first appearance?
None.
Nothing.
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 I don't even remember what I did. That's very interesting. I got to find out. Because I wish I had an act like Topo Gigio. At least I would have known what I was doing. Hello, Ed. Topo Gigio. You want to meet Shecky? Shecky, say hello to Ed. Hello, Ed. This is Topo Gigio's friend, Shecky. He loved talking to those things. See, he felt equal to the puppets. Right here on Topo Gigio. Hello, Topo. Hello, Ed. Give me a kiss, Ed. He said that to the elephant, too. Here's an elephant. Give me a kiss there, elephant.
Oh, God. Okay, now...
Take me back to India, dear elephant.
Did he have any words of encouragement when you came off the stage?
Never.
Never.
I think he did say, "I'd like to cancel you." But with a smile on his face.
Oh, God. What do you think was at this? Because you're funny, and obviously his producers knew you were funny. What was the tension between you and he?
Well, the tension was that I never knew what I was going to do, and then he never knew what I was going to do. And when I did it, he didn't like it. You know, he says, "You know what? I wish I would have known you were going to do that. As I told you, I was going to do that, but I didn't think you'd do that when you really did that." Well, I did that because I told you I was going to do that. And that went on for about an hour. You did that, I did that. You did, you know. But, you know, as I told you before he died, he and I became very close. And because he was really, like, left alone. It's to be that big, and then all of a sudden everything is over.
Well, it's interesting because we go back to that appearance that you made with Groucho Marx, and even at that time, obviously that Ed Sullivan appearance was not a favorite of yours.
No, I didn't feel comfortable doing that show like I did. Like I did with Hollywood. Well, Groucho was, became a fan of mine. That was one of the great things of my life. To have people like Jack Benny and George Burns. George Burns and Shaq, I want to tell you something. That what you did up there was great. You do that all the time? No, I just did it tonight. You going to do it tomorrow night? If I remember, you know. Try to remember the material in September that you did once on the Ed Sullivan Show. Try to remember. You know, I was talking to somebody speaking of that, or singing that song. Mimi Hines.
Mimi Hines.
Did you ever have Mimi Hines on your show?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
How is she?
She's magnificent. Could I give you her telephone? And I'll call. I want you to please interview this girl.
I will do that.
This talented lady.
Now tell people about Mimi Hines.
Mimi Hines was married to a man by the name of Phil Ford. Mimi Hines was a little girl. She looked like a squirrel. She had two teeth that stuck out in the front. She was a pretty little girl, and she sang. And she went on the Jack Parr show. There was a big, she went to, there were bells all around, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. Do you remember that song?
I do.
Hey, that wasn't bad, was it?
No, that was good. I didn't know we were going to have
a... maybe I'll go back to show business.
I didn't know we were going to have a musical act today.
Are you kidding me, God? I do everything. I used to say, in order to be in show business, you got to do everything. I even took dancing lessons.
Did you?
Yeah, but I was no good because I put the taps on the same shoe.
Well, that'll get you every time. That's
yeah, if you're good, if you're one peg like Bates with the one leg. Anyway, Mimi Hines went on the, what did I say? What's his show?
Jack Parr.
Jack Parr. I don't know why. Jack Parr never wanted me, so I keep forgetting him.
He was a nervous
wreck. Two guys,
wreck.
Jack Parr and David Letterman, never wanted me on their show, which I'd like to find out why.
What, I think...
So anyway, this little girl, and she did Broadway. She did Funny Girl after Barbara Streisand. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes, she did Funny Girl, and she's absolutely wonderful. She's now, I think, she's about 86, maybe. But I talked to her yesterday, and she was delightful.
Now, what is she up to these days?
She works once in a while. You'll have to, but I wish you would interview her, because you'll really enjoy it.
We'll work on that. We'll definitely get her on. But, Shecky, now, I ask you this a lot. Now you've turned 93 about a month ago.
Oh, God, 93.
No, it's good.
Which way did I turn at 93? Towards 94.
Well, you're 93 in about a month now. So, do you have any plans to get up on stage at 93?
You know what, if it comes, not that I would want to go look for a job or anything, but I mean, if I'm in somebody's room or something, they asked me to come up, I'd come up, you know.
Now, do you have an agent?
I told you before, I do shows at Smith's Grocery, I do shows at the hardware store, you know.
Do you have...
Lady, buy that pliers. Let me tell you, Mr. Meyer sells all the hardware goods. Knock on wood, you could fix it. I just go completely nuts.
Well, that's good. Now, do you have an agent or a manager that would...
No. My agent was older than me. He died, you know.
Well...
Last thing he said, I'll never forget. He said, you owe me 10%.
Well, it's interesting that we're this close to Memorial Day. Your agents are dead. Your psychiatrists are dead. Do you plan to go to visit them this coming weekend?
Oh, come to no, because I live in a strange world. I'm waiting for them to come and I hear a knock on the door. You know.
Well, oh,
Shecky, we're back. Leonard, my God, you still got a tennis racket in your hand. Yes. And I had a manager. He was 6'4". He talked with a lisp. He had knock knees. And this is where you get me a job. Listen, are you quite a... Are you quite a... That's the way he talked. And he used to call me and say to me, why do you get arrested at 4 o'clock in the morning? Can't you get arrested at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
You know, that's an interesting thing. Have you ever noticed people always get sick in the middle of the night? Never at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's always in the middle of the night.
Well, see, because they think they can beat it when they go to sleep.
That's not good.
No, but you know, I'll cover it up. I'll go to sleep, and it won't bother me. But it bothers you worse, you know, because you can't get a doctor unless he gets sick in the middle of the night. Then you can meet each other.
Now, how do you sleep at this point, Shecky? Do you get an 8-hour night sleep?
I got strange sleeping habits. I'll sleep maybe when I go to bed 2 hours. Then I get up. Then I go to sleep for 2 hours. My dog follows me around. Wherever I sleep, she sleeps. So, and now it's the other way. Wherever she sleeps, I sleep. Last night, I slept on the rug. But it's mixed. I get up about 4 o'clock, make coffee, and have something. And I keep telling my wife, I keep gaining weight, and I tell my wife I don't eat.
You've gained weight in your 90s.
Oh, I gained a lot of weight since I'm not doing anything. I don't have one pair of pants that fit. I don't have any shirts that fit. So I just sit around the house.
Now, did you keep any memorabilia from your career, like tuxedos or awards or pictures?
Is that funny? I got a lot of pictures. I mean, yeah, you just can't help that. The one picture I don't have, and I told you this, was Presley. I worked with Presley, and I was with Presley when at MGM when I was doing a show, and he was at MGM, and we only took one tiny little picture.
Mm. How was he?
How what?
Was he a nice man?
I loved him.
Loved him. Good guy.
He wasn't a nice man. He was a very, very, very good kid. And with all of that stuff that happened to him later on, I wish they wanted me to go with him. I wish I would have, because I think I could have helped him.
That would have been big. You know, Shecky, we're getting down to about 8 minutes here, and I had a request. We haven't done this for a while, but as many people know who've listened to this program, that Shecky Green has the funniest talk show story in the history of talk shows, and you've told it here many times, and for a long time we had a lot of fun with it, and we have not done it for a while, but I had a request when you were on last week that you tell this story again. Now I'll set the scene. Now here's what happened. Shecky Green is booked on the hit TV series Fantasy Island, and for some reason you're in the car and you're late heading over to Fantasy Island with starring Ricardo Montalban and that legendary actor Hervé Villechaize. So you're on your way to Fantasy Island. Take us through the experience.
I finally got there and they're all waiting for me, you know, and I could tell it wasn't the way it should be. You know, there wasn't that wonderful greeting. Hi, how are you? You know, welcome to the set. It was, I want to tell you something. You went with Randy at the hour for you. You know that? I said, who the hell is that? And I went to, you know, you held up the whole company. You know that? I went to tell you. Hello. Roberto, come with, because Roberto and I played handball together. Shecky, I want to tell you something. It's wonderful to have you on the show. This is Hervé Villechaize. Hello, all right.
I went to tell you I don't like you.
Okay. So then I sat down, and the wife, he just gotten married, said, would you like a cup of coffee? I said, oh, gee, that would be wonderful, thank you. What is your name? What about Linda? So he came over to me and said,
I want to tell you something. That's my wife. Don't you talk to my wife. I want to tell you, you do that, I'm going to shoot you. What? I'm going to shoot you.
I thought he said he's going to shoot me. But he was going to shoot me, which is something else. I haven't found out what shoot is yet, but... And he ended up shooting himself.
I know.
But to tell you, I had nobody around one day, so I shot myself.
He was funny. As I always thought he was from Spain or something, and you found out he was French.
That's right. He was French.
J'ai les ronds et gays profondes. Mandris et les ranges à 2 feet 9. Oh, my God.
No.
Could you believe how big he got? I mean, that's a joke.
Oh.
Could you believe how popular he got? How big he got? How big did he get?
The best part of that story is after he threatened to shoot you, Ricardo Montalban pulled you to the side, right, and comforted your nerves. Did he not?
The Sheik, I want to tell you something. He's a little crazy. He thinks there's a real plane coming in. Every week he's looking for the real plane. We keep on telling him to say, you know, the plane, boys, the plane. He thinks there's a real plane.
So since we're in a self-examination mood today, we've self-examined why you and Ed Sullivan did not get along because he didn't know what you were going to do. What do you think it was about Hervé that struck a bad nerve?
Well, Hervé was like, you know, he was the boss of the show. They let him get that feeling, and it was wrong that I should be so late. It so happens almost every television show that I did or movie. The same thing with Tom Hanks. I came late for my thing, and they gave me one call. I had another call, and Tom Hanks never talked to me after that. We did the scene. He never said, thanks for coming, kiss my nose, you know.
Now, what movie was that for people who want to watch that great...
That was Splash.
Oh, Splash. That was a big movie. You were in Splash. I remember that.
I was in Splash, and I had a bigger part, but they had cut it down because I didn't come until late. And I was in there maybe for 30 seconds.
Now, what did you portray in Splash?
I was supposed to be a former Army guy, a Marine guy, that was in the produce business. And the two brothers were in the produce business. And I went to buy produce. And then eventually, he puts a grapefruit in my face, Tom Hanks. So, which would have been sensational, because that would have been known like Jimmy Cagney and May Clark did in Jimmy Cagney's picture. That what's made him so famous.
Now, did you ever know Jimmy Cagney?
Oh, yes.
Now, there are a lot of rumors, and I don't mean to get in his personal business, but about Jimmy Cagney. Now, do you know about those rumors?
No. I had a boarding house once, and I had rumors. No, what is it?
Well, that he, you know, that he might have been...
gay?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going
to
say?
I was trying to figure out a nice way to introduce that, yes. People have
there
said...
There is no way in God's world. Hear what I tell you? He was married to a lovely lady, Josephine.
So why do you think that rumor got started?
Because he played, now listen to what I'm telling you. He did female impersonations when he was first getting in show business. He dressed that way, because they did everything. So that's why they said he was gay.
Oh. Well, you see, because...
You never knew that.
Because you know where... Betty White got in trouble for this, because she went on a talk... I think she went on the Joy Behar show about 10 years ago, and they
Joy
were,
Behar, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well... And Betty White was on there, and they were having a nice conversation about a book or something, and Joy Behar was asking about Cagney, and Betty White said she knew Cagney, and Betty White kind of alluded to the fact that Cagney was gay. And Betty White got into some trouble for that, because that was not a known thing, but apparently it wasn't true anyway.
No, it was not true.
So that's...
I don't know how well she knew him, but that's the reason why he did that act when he first got around, started in show business. When he danced and everything.
Well, that's...
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm not gay at all. You listen, Miss White. I'm going to see you some night, and I'm going to put you right, Miss Wright. You're wrong, 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 and that much is a fact. I want to tell you, Betty White, take that conversation back.
Now, we got to know, because it's interesting, Joy Behar, who can be seen every day on The View, and actually the New York Times Magazine this week has called The View the most influential political talk show on television. Why did you spit when you heard Joy Behar's name?
I don't like her.
She's been on this show a couple times.
I don't like her. I just don't like her.
She's different.
She got a thing with me. I don't know why. I just don't like her.
You know,
I got other reasons why, and I would tell you, but I don't think we got long enough. But she's a teacher, and she's an ex-teacher, and she should have stayed that way. Because I had funny teachers, too, in school.
Well, it's interesting. You know, somebody who appeared on this show a lot when they were alive and lived to be 95 years old was Phyllis Diller. Now, what were your relations with Phyllis?
I love Phyllis Diller.
Now, what about Joan Rivers?
How much I don't like Joy Behar, that's how much I like Phyllis Diller.
You know, Phyllis was an Ohio girl, and she never... I never knew Phyllis to be rude. She was always easy to deal with.
She was... Phyllis Diller was a lady, wonderful lady.
Now, I like Joan Rivers, too, but she could be a little difficult.
Joan Rivers, yes, Joan Rivers was all right. You know, a little hostile at times, but she was all right.
Now, Shecky...
Kate Ballard was magnificent.
Oh, I loved
her. Jean, what's her name, was one of the first real comedians. I forget.
But no, Kay Ballard was wonderful. When she had some great songs. Have you ever heard her do the fast food song?
I will never hear it, I guess.
No, it's on record or someplace. You ought to have the missus look that up for you. Kay Ballard in the fast food song. That's a great song.
Well, I'll call up the girl that worked for at the house and see if she got it.
How is she doing? The British lady who you had to talk to get to Kay.
Darling, may I say something? Kay, the last word on Kay's mouth was chicky. A chucky. Let me call up Ed Sullivan's relatives and find out what your name is.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, when I used to book Kay on this show, you didn't go through an agent or a manager. You called her house, but this British woman would answer the telephone. Now, who was she? I never understood who she was.
Well, Kay took her in, and after a few bottles of wine, she stayed there. Matter of fact, she's at the house now. She just called me yesterday.
Well, how's she doing, the British woman?
Oh, darling, may I say something? Kay told me to stay in the house. You know what I mean? So, and you know, we've got a little boy in England now, Archie. I'm going to ask if they want to come over. That voice sounds exactly like her.
Oh, it does. I've talked to her many times. Yes. Yeah. And that house that Kay lived in used to be Desi Arnaz's house.
Oh, yes, Desi Arnaz sold that house to her.
Yes. Now, did you ever run in with Desi and Lucy?
I knew Desi and Lucy very well.
Now, tell us, before we break, because this is a good Memorial Day story, tell us about the legendary queen of television, Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball came to see me work. And she wanted me, she was married to Gary Morton. And she wanted me to do the show. But she had the show that she wanted. I was supposed to be an ex-fighter, and she wanted me for a thing. And I said, I can't do it. And she says, you're frightened to go on, you know? So every time she'd see me, she'd say to me, you're frightened to go on, you know? I wasn't frightened to go on. I was a little heavy at the time. I didn't want to do television, you know.
Now,
but Gary Morton, who was the average comic, married Lucy, and they lived up in Thunderbird in Palm Springs, which is anti-Semitic. But she lived up there even after she married Gary, and Gary used to hide out.
Oh.
He was Jewish, so he hid out. you know. You know, she wasn't allowed to play on the golf course.
I heard she loved to play backgammon all the time.
She was a champion backgammon player.
You know, did you ever play backgammon with Lucille Ball?
Never.
Never.
Not front gammon, not backgammon, not side gammon.
Because
I don't even. I met Mr. Gammon one time, Sam Gammon. But anyway, what's his name? We've got to be sort of a drunk Desi.
Yeah.
At the end. And we'd go to, he would go, and I would see him at the Del Mar all the time. They loved horses.
Isn't it interesting that Desi became kind of an alcoholic, and now there's a drunk British woman living in his house?
Well, that was because so much stuff was left over. She's got to finish it.
Well, hopefully.
Well, you know, I got the greatest. I can't tell the story about how Desi married this woman, Mrs. Hirsch.
Why? Why can't we know about it?
Well, the houses were close together, the Hirsches and the Ernesses, and he was caught going from his window into their window.
Ooh.
God. I'll probably be sued for that. So what?
That's right.
I'm 93.
93.
I'm 93. I've got insanity. I don't know what I said. Okay.
Shecky, I cannot thank you enough for making a repeat appearance with us this week. It is always the best. I hope you have a great holiday weekend. And
could I tell you, don't lose me with Mimi Hines, I beg of you.
No.
Because your people will be thrilled.
We're going to get Mimi Hines on, and we're going to have you back very soon to find out what you did on Memorial Day.
Oh, now I'm going to go out and do something.
You got to do something. When you go to the grocery store, ask the people if they're buying flowers for the graves.
Oh, you want to know something? I'll get the people on Memorial Day. I'll talk to the people at the counter.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll be like the traveling information, please.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
How long have you been buying this cornflakes, miss? You get this man away from me, please.
You know, like Lucille Ball always said, you're just scared to play her in backgammon. That's all it is.
Oh, God, she was a champion.
Shecky,
she won a lot of money in backgammon.
Well, like she needed it. She had some dough.
Oh, yeah, they had dough. What he did, you know, he was the brilliance behind that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, he taped those shows with good film.
No, but besides that, he's the one that went and bought the studio and everything else. He was a genius.
I think she knew that, too. She gave him a lot of praise right up until he died.
No, she loved him.
Absolutely.
But he was sort of a wacko. Well, we all were sort of a wacko.
Maybe he went and saw Leonard before he died.
I want to tell you something. I went to your friend Leonard. He wanted to play tennis with me. I don't want to play tennis. I just want to lay on the couch.
Shecky, it's always my pleasure to talk with you. You stay well, and we'll talk again soon.
Scott, I thank you for calling me. I look forward to this.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Ohio, I love you. Ohio, I love you.
Stay well.
All right.
Bye-bye. The wonderful Shecky Green. Stay tuned. More around the corner.
News.com.
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Ted, did you know Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?